Okay, thanks. Thanks for coming along to this session today. I think we'll make a start, given that lunchtime's rapidly approaching, and I don't want to impact that. So, thanks very much to listen to us. We're going to talk about real-time streaming options, specifically around the Azure Data Services and Cortana Analytics Suite. So, my name is Benjamin Wright Jones. I'm an architect in the Data Insights Global Practice.
And my name is Simon Lidberg. I'm also an architect in the Data Insights Global Practice. I'm based out of Sweden.
And you can probably tell I'm based out of the UK, but travel is part of our job. So I'm pleased to be here to come and talk to you all today. So just briefly, the Data Insights Global Practice. We're a team of architects and consultants who work with customers and partners around the globe, specifically on advanced analytics scenarios and solutions. So we try and help customers transform business problems into solutions so they can return value. Simon, anything you want to say on this?
As I said, we are a team of consultants and solution architects, and we help customers. So if you want to get in touch with us, our email is in the presentation at the end. So you will be able to reach out to us.
Simon said he doesn't get enough email, so email Simon. Right, Cortana Analytics Suite. So hope you attended the keynotes this morning to give you an overview of what this involves and the components and the services that we have available. In terms of real-time streaming, we're going to be talking specifically around these two aspects, Azure HD Insight and Azure Stream Analytics. So these are two services which provide options for streaming real-time data.
So just so that everybody is on the same page here. So normally, when you collect information, you store it. Store it in a lake, data lake, store it in a data warehouse, and you have the ability to query that persisted storage. So finding out how many fishes there are in the lake, you can query it. But when we're talking about streaming, what we need to do is we can't actually query a persisted data. We're querying the stream in the real time. So what we have is data streaming, and we're persisting the query instead. So all of these solutions are built on that concept, where we have a query persisted instead of persisting data. Now, this is being used in the number of solutions. When we talk to customers around things like fraud detection, well, there is a real-time component in that. I want to capture fraud before it happens or as it's happened so that I can stop the transaction. Or if you want to build smart buildings, well, I want to capture data of a sensor that tells the temperature in a building so that I can act on that in real time. Or if I want to personalize an offer on a web page, I need to capture in real time what the customer is doing through his browser. So there is always a real-time component in these solutions. Now, there is a lot of different streaming solutions. And the big question is, which one do I choose? And what are the decision points? So what we're trying to do is we're trying to look at the most popular streaming solutions that are available in the Cortana Analytics Suite, such as Storm on HD Insight, or Azure Stream Analytics, or Spark Streaming on HD Insight. So what we will do during this presentation is that we will look at each of these options and see when should I use it and why should I use that. So let us start with Azure Stream Analytics. So Azure Stream Analytics is a platform as a service solution that is available in Azure. It's a fully managed service, so you don't need to care about deploying hardware, deploying a cluster, or anything. It's scalable where you can actually scale as needed by choosing streaming units and adding them to a streaming job. And it's a very easy development environment where you write SQL-like queries. You also have a good possibility of monitoring that solution through the Azure portal, and we will look at how that looks like in a while. Now, to put Azure Stream Analytics into some sort of context, we're going to look at an end-to-end architecture for a streaming solution. So in this case, what we're seeing here is an overview. So you have the data source. It could be your sensor in a smart building. It could be a sensor in a vehicle. It could be a web page that generates a number of events. So what you're doing is that you need to input these events into an event into the Stream Analytics event processor. And Stream Analytics can use two different inputs. It's either blob storage or the event hub. What we also have the possibility to have is reference data. So let's say that you want to correlate the input data that you get from the stream. So let's say you have a number of vehicles that sends in information from sensors. They usually have a vehicle identification number. But maybe you want to add some reference information about who is the owner of it, where is it located, things like that. So what you have the ability to do is actually look up that in real time in your query. Your query is basically where you have the transformation. So in the transformation step, you have the ability to define joins, define aggregates, enrich and correlate the information. So look up the vehicle identification number from the reference data. The next thing that you're going to do is you're going to output the information. So the query that you're persisting, it's going to output the result. So that could be into a SQL database in Azure. It could be into blob storage, so persisting information after you have done some manipulations. Or you can output it into a new event hub. Why would you like to do that? Well, event hub is an input to something. So what you have the ability to do then is actually to run some sort of job that actually reads from that queue and then does something else. So maybe call an Azure ML component. Another thing that we can actually output to is directly into a Power BI dashboard. And this was shown today in the keynote, where they showed an example of outputting into that dashboard so that you would have real-time information. There are coming some new inputs or outputs, things like document database, which is a service for storing documents in document type data, like JSON in Azure. So that is something that the product group are adding to the service. And then you have the consumption of the information, so consuming it through a dashboard or through predictive analytics or Azure storage. So what I'm going to do now, what we have done in this session is we're actually doing a lot of demos so that you will actually see, and I will walk through and explain what we have done and why. So let's switch to the demo on Stream Analytics. So in this case, what I've done here is I've defined an event hub called TwitStream. This is the place where we're going to feed some of the information from my input. And in my case, the input is actually what's happening in Twitter in real time. So I have a small sample application that I've built. I'm using Node.js. So the reason why I'm using Node.js is that Node.js comes with some very good Twitter APIs. So in this case, what I'm doing, I'm defining a query in Twitter that is filtering on three different keywords. So Microsoft, Windows 10, and Xbox One. So I'm interested in every tweet that contains that keyword. And I'm letting Twitter filtering that before it sends the tweet to me. Because I don't want to receive all the tweets coming from Twitter. Now, what I'm doing with the tweet is I'm actually pushing it down into my event hub that I've defined. So my application here, as soon as I started, will contact Twitter, say, I'm interested in every tweet that happens that contains one of these keywords, and it will start capturing that, pushing it into the event hub. So as you can see, the console application now starts to show tweets coming in. So every time you see something happens here, it's actually a tweet that is pushed down into Event Hub. The next thing that I've done is I've actually created a Stream Analytics job inside the Azure portal. So as you can see, here is the monitoring experience that I have in Azure portal. I can see all the incoming tweets. I can see the CPU utilization. I can see if I have any errors. In this case, I've defined that I have an input. My input is the event hub that I created. And I've also defined that I'm getting data in JSON. So Twitter delivers the tweet as a JSON message. And I've defined that this is what I'm inputting into my Stream Analytics job. One of the key things that I have here is when I want to test something, in general, what I need is to define some testing data. Now, with Azure Stream Analytics, I have a very easy way of developing and a very easy way of capturing that data. So I can sample the data directly from the stream by pressing sample, and I will actually collect and store it locally. The reason why I want to do that, well, I can use that file as a way of testing my queries that I'm writing. So let's switch to the queries. So in this case, I've defined a query. Now, the query language, as you can see, is very SQL-like. It's not SQL, but it's very like SQL. So I have my selects, I can define unions, I could define subqueries. And one important thing that I have is a number of windowing functions. We will go into the windowing functions a bit later and look at what they actually do. But in this case, I'm using what's called the tumbling window. It means that every 30 seconds, I'm interested in the number of tweets, the number of followers, and the topic. So I will get, every time I will get the row with the number of tweets that happened during the last 30 seconds for either Microsoft, Xbox One, or Windows 10. As you can see, I can test my query. This is where I would actually use some of that sample information. So I can test it, and I can paste in my file that I've captured when I'm sampled the stream. This gives me an ability to actually test the query before starting it to make sure that I haven't any syntax errors and that it actually gives me the results I want. The third thing is the outputs that I'm interested in. So in my case, I'm actually outputting to two different source, two different destinations. One is I'm persisting the information into Azure Blob Storage. Why do I do that? Well, maybe I want to do some analysis from a historical perspective. So I want to be able to go back in history and look what happened at a specific date. Or maybe I would like to push it into some sort of data warehouse. So the SQL data warehouse service in Azure could be an output here. In my case, I'm storing the historical information into Blob Storage. And that gives me the ability to do some computation on the data using tools like HD Insight and the other streaming components as well. The second output that I have defined is actually my Power BI dashboard. So what I'm able to do here is I'm actually pushing it into a real-time dashboard that I can consume from any type of device that basically have a browser. So let's have a look at how that is actually defined. So here I have my real-time dashboard. It updates every 30 seconds because I've defined my tumbling window over 30 seconds. So every 30 seconds I will get a number of rows inputted into the information. In the keynote this morning, you saw that they were doing the same, but on a 3-second basis. Well, you have the ability to push on a very low time window as well. I'm just choosing 30 seconds because it gives me a way of actually seeing the information. You can see it updates every 30 seconds. So this was a demo now over the Azure Stream Analytics. So let's have a look at some of the features that we have that I went over. So as I said, the query language that you have is extremely rich in Azure Stream Analytics. So for those of you that know SQL, you see them. You have the selects, you have the group bys, you have the joins. Some of the things that you can do in Stream Analytics that you can't do in SQL are the windowing extensions. So I talked about I was using tumbling windows, but we have two other windowing extensions as well. And you also have the different aggregates that you can do. In my query, I use the sum. So I'm doing a sum over the number of tweets. So the way the temporal functions works is you have an easy way of implementing them. So what is this windows, tumbling, hopping, and sliding ones? Well, let's go through each of them. So a tumbling window, in this case, we have a demo or an illustration here of a tumbling window over 10 seconds. What that actually gives me is every 10-second period, I get some data. So in this case, tell me the count of tweets per time zone every 10 seconds. So as you can see on the timeline at 0 until 10, there we had the first 10-second window. And then from 10 to 20, we had the second 10-second window. And I will basically get the information in that time window. So a query, as you can see, looks like this. So I'm here in this case, I've specified that I'm interested in the events that happened in the last 10 seconds.
Excuse me. Will
the slide deck be shared? Yes. So I'm making that assumption. They are recording it, and slide decks will probably be able to download. If not, send me an email, and I will make sure that you get them. The other windowing extension that we have is a hopping window. So how does that differ? So in this case, we're defining that every 5 seconds, give me the count of tweets over the last 10 seconds. So here we're saying, as you can see here, we have the windows. They have an overlap of 5 seconds. And that's because we have defined that we have a 5-second hop. So in this case, we're still looking at 10-second windows, but with a 5-second hop. So we have an overlap between the windows. And as you can see, I define the query here, and I say 10-second window with a 5-second hop. So very easy to implement, quite complex logic in this case. The third one is a bit more complex. It's the sliding windows. So sliding windows actually gives me an infinite number of windows, because basically what we're defining is that the window starts with every event. And every event in this case can actually be that the data is going out of the window as well. So as you can see here, in this case, one is not part of that 10-second period. So we actually have a window here as well. And as you can see, similar way of defining that information. So hopefully what I've shown you is the easy way of actually using Stream Analytics. You saw my queries. It's like typically 1 to 3 rows in a SQL-like language. I define my inputs as event hubs or storage blobs, and I can get into production very fast. One of the customers that we worked with that have done this is a company in Sweden where I'm based called Arrowcrine. So Arrowcrine, what they do is they actually creates devices for the health industry. So they are working with patients that have asthma, and they need to blow into an instrument to measure their lung performance. So what they are doing is they are capturing that information in real time in order to do some predictions. So basically what they're doing is they're hooking those up into Event Hub and push the data into Event Hub, and then use Stream Analytics to do some transformation on it. And you have the ability as well, they have the ability to view in real time how many patients that are actually using the device and drilling down into the information. And I mean, they had a very good experience, were able to bring up their solution in just months compared to the way that they would have done it with other technologies.
Okay, thanks, Simon. So we've heard about Stream Analytics in Azure. Who in here has heard about Apache Storm? That's good to know. And Azure HD Insight? That's good. So I'm going to briefly talk about Storm, which is a streaming framework that's available on HD Insight. For anyone that doesn't know, HD Insight is Microsoft's implementation of Hadoop on Azure, based on the Hortonworks distribution. So Storm, as a brief recap, is the streaming framework within Hadoop. So this is available as of today within the Azure HD Insight framework and on the portal itself. We've just recently migrated it into the new Azure portal, and I'll show you that experience in a minute. Just as a recap, Hadoop provides batch processing through MapReduce, scripting or ETL-type transformations through Pig, and then SQL frameworks through Hive, HiveQL being a great interface for analysts who are familiar with T-SQL-like syntax today. And then we have Mahout, which is a data mining framework as well. But I'm going to talk specifically around Storm today and what we can do with this. So Storm, as I mentioned, is a real-time processing framework. It's open source, but now available on HD Insight. We have first-class Visual Studio integration. So if you go to the WebPI installer and search for HD Insight, you can actually download and install components which will give you a first-class experience within Visual Studio. This is project templates for Storm, for building components and deploying those. So today in Storm, we support things like C# and Java. We have a great decision matrix at the end, which will summarize some of these points. So what I'm showing you here is a brief end-to-end framework from data ingestion to presentation. And actually, you could put a number of different technologies in the central piece. So you have event queuing. You could look at something like Event Hubs, Kafka, RabbitMQ. Then you could look at Azure Stream Analytics, Storm, or Spark, which I'll also talk about. So what is in our HD Insight Storm cluster today? So we actually give you a great experience and a flexible choice on Azure HD Insight. You can actually choose specific nodes, what you want to deploy. You can choose from D-class nodes, which are SSD-backed. You get recommended ideal sizes for a HD Insight cluster. This is the new portal experience, and I'm going to show this as well. So you can choose your specific node type, sizes, memory, disk, footprint that you want to use. You can dynamically scale the cluster, so there's no downtime. You can increase or decrease your number of nodes for processing data online, which is a real great experience. And you know, you can do this through the portal or through the PowerShell interface. The portal actually allows you to scale nodes up to the limit of your subscription, which is probably, I think it's about 500 for me today anyway, but my boss would kill me if I went beyond that. We have people running in production today on Storm in the thousands of nodes. Internally, we have customers like MSIT doing anomaly detection using Storm. So people who log into Azure Portal, they're looking at suspicious activity in the logins. So they're using Storm to actually do this. And here I'll briefly show you some of the choices that you get when you're building and deploying a Storm cluster in the portal. So you can see here some A-sized clusters, some D-sized clusters, and you know, it's a real great interface. Okay. So some of the kind of taxonomy of Storm. So, like Hadoop, having Hive, Pink, Pig, etc., Storm has spouts, bolts, and tuples. So you can think of spouts as actually the data source, the input. So something like Twitter, API, queuing system, Event Hub, Kafka, RabbitMQ, so the actual input. The actual unit of computation is called a topology, so that's what you actually deploy on a cluster to run. Streams contain tuples, so name value list. And then the bolt actually consumes the stream and sends it to an output being something like Azure SQL Database, which you can then put a web page or something else, a dashboard on top of that to view the data. So design and deployment experience. So this is something I was talking about briefly, the Azure HD Insight integration into Visual Studio. You can see here some of the project types that are available, so Hive, Pig, Storm. That makes it a bit easier for developers to build and deploy Storm applications. So we have native project support, first-class integration in Visual Studio. So that's kind of like a very whirlwind tour of Storm. But we know in the world, technology, things change rapidly. So in 2009, researchers at UC Berkeley were looking at how to make Storm faster. So saw MapReduce as a bit of a bottleneck. This is where Spark came along. So who's heard of Spark? Okay, that's good to know. So Spark is gaining massive, massive momentum at the moment in the market. We're seeing a lot of customer interest. And one of the reasons now we have Spark on HD Insight in preview, so you can actually go and look at this today, is to address some of this rising demand. And if you look at trends, so I did a quick search, I thought I was interested in how does Hadoop and Spark compare. They're not mutually exclusive because Spark actually requires the HDFS file system. But this is just showing you the rise of Spark and how since 2013 a lot of search terms have been created. A lot of interest, a lot of news headlines. Spark is also very fast, so it won the SORT Award in 2014. And what this is just showing you are some of these metrics. So looking at 100 terabyte SORT, comparing that to Hadoop, and comparing it to Spark, 1 petabyte. I think what's interesting here is actually the number of cores. So if you look at the Hadoop performance, that's actually physical cores. So 50,000 physical cores to process 100 terabytes. The Spark benchmark is using 6,000 virtualized cores. So if you go and look at this blog today, you can look at the performance metrics of Spark versus Hadoop. It's pretty incredible what it can do. So I mentioned Spark doesn't require a Hadoop. It has support for a number of storage systems, but one of them being HDFS. Spark can be seen as, I think ultimately, a tool of the data engineer or the data scientist. It's a big data computation engine. But it's appealing to customers because it's one system that addresses a number of needs. So you can do things like machine learning, you can do things like SQL interface, you can do streaming, it has a graph library. It's pretty encompassing, whereas you might, as an alternative, have to deploy multiple independent systems. I mentioned Spark SQL. So Spark SQL has evolved out of something that was called Shark, and this is a really fast SQL interface over your data. There are a number of ML libraries on Spark today, so it supports things like clustering, regression, so you can actually do predictions over your data processing in Spark as well. So you're getting a number of choices here. You can also do data science machine learning in Azure ML, but you can also do it in things like Spark. So we're giving you choice. And how do you decide? Sorry.
Can we integrate R or Python?
Into
Spark?
Yes, you can. Yeah. I'll show you some of that in a minute. Okay, so machine learning libraries. I was talking about clustering and regression. On Azure HD Insight, we also deploy something called Anaconda. And this is a package of 200 libraries, which include things like stats, visualizations, and it's actually really well documented on the Azure documentation. The content development guys have done a really good job. So it tells you how to set up, deploy, what's included, what the support framework is. And one of the kind of other differentiators is the BI integration. So we have first class Power BI integration with Apache Spark today. So you can go to Power BI, you can connect to your Apache Spark server, and you can browse and build dashboards. Even better, you're not actually bound to Power BI. You can use things like SAP Lumira, you can use Tableau. We're providing you choices to look at data through other tools as well. Now, biased, Power BI is best, but we're giving you choice to look at other tools. Okay, so I mentioned Spark SQL. So it supports the same semantics as HiveQL in Hadoop, so it's compatible. It supports user-defined functions, UDFs. It supports serializers and deserializers, just like Hadoop. So there are similarities. Okay, GraphX, briefly, is a graph database. So think of this like social network nodes interacting, or cell communications, and they want to look at the nodes and the interactions between people making phone calls. I think that's probably the easiest analogy I can give you. So Spark on IHD Insight is in preview right now, so you can go into the portal, you can build a Spark cluster, start small, gives you 4 nodes. The differentiators from an Azure perspective, so Spark being enterprise ready, so we provide 99.9% SLA, 24/7 support through Premier support. We pre-install things like the Anaconda libraries I mentioned, and we support a number of third-party BI tools as well. From a streaming perspective, in the context of this conversation, we provide first-class integration with Event Hubs. So the program management team and the developers have done a great job in integrating Spark Streaming with Event Hub. And I've got a demo to show you in a minute. There's a great experience in the notebooks. So we've actually integrated the Jupyter notebook, which was formerly IPython, and we've integrated Zeppelin notebooks into the Spark deployment. So this gives you a great way to experiment, visualize, explore data. I think this is one of the reasons why it probably appeals to data engineers, data scientists. And we also give you great flexibility in terms of node sizing. So periods of demand, you want to scale your cluster up. We provide elasticity, so you can scale it back down. High performance, so D nodes are backed by SSD caching, so it provides you really rapid computations. If you go to the Azure documentation portal, we provide lots more documentation around this. So I'm only scratching the surface here. Okay, before I get to the demo, briefly talk about Spark Streaming versus Storm Streaming. Now, some of this information is sometimes a bit irrelevant because it doesn't actually manifest when you're looking at Storm versus Spark. But when you get down to it and you get into the kind of details of it, there are some minor differences. So from a workload perspective, Spark Streaming implements a batching method versus Storm, which processes events. There's a slight difference in latency due to the batching and incoming events. And then there's the fault tolerance. So Spark providing exactly once processing versus Storm, at least once. But some of these semantics, you know, don't really matter unless you're really, really interested in how this works under the covers. And if you want to look at more details, you can look at the article I've posted here. I'll put the link in and distribute that later. But this is basically the fault tolerance differences in the real-time streaming world, Storm, Spark, etc. So in the Spark Streaming demo I'm going to show you, I'm taking some crime data. So I've taken a data set from the Chicago portal. This is 2001 data to present. So it's about a 1.3 gig data set I downloaded of crime incidents. I was looking for Seattle data, but couldn't find it. There you go. Ingressing this into Event Hub. So I'll be taking the crime data and loading it into Event Hub. There's a Visual Studio Console application that processes this. And then I'll show you how you can interact with this data through the Zeppelin notebook. Briefly, what's in my cluster? So I actually chose D12 nodes, which are full core, 28 gig memory, 200 gig SSDs. And my worker nodes, I chose 8. When I was actually rescaling this, it's a really simple process of changing 4 to 8, pressing scale, and it increases your cluster online. So I'll give you a brief tour of this. Let's see, input 8. Hopefully this works. Okay, before I talk about this, let's show you. So this is the experience you'll see in the Azure portal today. So it was only last month when we actually enabled HD Insight in the new Azure portal. So what you'll see here is one of the dashboards. So you can see my cores and my worker nodes in the bottom left. If you want to actually scale the cluster, It's a simple case of changing the nodes. I should point out here that whilst you can scale the cluster out, you can't actually change the definition of your cluster nodes, specifically D12s. So they're fixed. It's only kind of the elasticity you can change. Okay. In the dashboard itself, we provide you the Spark Resource Manager. We provide interface to the notebooks. So I mentioned Jupyter, formerly IPython notebook, and the Zeppelin notebook. We provide you with a file browser, and we provide you with a Hive editor, so you can still run your queries in the web interface. So this is the Zeppelin experience. And within this, I have a Cortana Analytics demo. Before I talk to you about that briefly, this is the data set I am actually using. So from the city of Chicago, I downloaded this data, which talks about, you know, what's the cause, battery narcotics, theft, burglary, etc. So I downloaded this locally into a CSV file, which I can actually show you here. So this is my CSV file. Okay. I have a console application which actually processes the CSV file. So if I just zoom in on this a second, this is connecting to my event hub. It's passing in the authorization token, the policy key, to the event hub namespace. And then it's actually passing in the location to the file to process. What are we doing for time? Okay. So, in the Zeppelin notebook, what's cool about Zeppelin is you can actually embed lots of different programming language types. So I have here some code which connects to Event Hub. When I talked about briefly the first class integration, what you'll see here is Spark streaming Event Hubs. So they've actually written this component to provide a great experience with Event Hub and Spark today. I then pass a number of parameters. So my secure access key, connect to my Event Hub. And to actually run this code is really simple. So in the interactive Zeppelin notebook, I can actually press run. And this will go away and process this data on my Spark cluster. So let's see. This is running at the moment, or pending, should I say. So hopefully the demo gods are with me today. Okay, still running, processing and deploying. And it's finished. Took 21 seconds. Okay. So then I have the streaming. So this second unit of code is actually going to start the streaming job. What it will actually do is process the streaming data into a temporary table. So I'm pushing the Chicago crime data into a temporary table to process. And let's just wait for this to deploy. Took 4 seconds. Right. So let's have a look at what I've got here. I have two tables. I've got the Hive sample table, which is still available in the Spark deployment, and I have CrimeStream 7. CrimeStream 7 is my temporary table. I just couldn't show you the name there briefly. Now, as in HiveQL, it supports the same syntax, so you can look at the metadata of the table. So my CrimeStream table is actually defined here with IDs, string types, crime types, description. And then if I do select star from CrimeStream 7, which is actually the streaming output, the temporary table where I'm pushing this data into, I should hopefully see some data. Ah, but I don't. That's interesting. And then I realize I haven't actually started my console application. Phew. Right. So this is actually now reading the CSV file, and it's actually pushing data into Event Hub. So hopefully, we should see some data coming into Spark, and we can show it being streamed in. So let's see. It sometimes takes a few seconds to actually get there. And here we go. There's been an assault, there's been a theft. What's happened next? And we get some more data in tabular format. So, sex events, criminal damage, battery, robbery, assault. So this data is being pushed into Azure, and Spark Streaming is processing it and displaying it. So you can do actually a lot of cool things in the Zeppelin dashboard. It's not just tabular data, so you know I could actually look at this through pie charts, histograms, whatever you want. If I start running this, I think this is the pie chart I was just playing around with. So now there's been burglary, criminal damage, theft. Okay. More events happening in Chicago than I can imagine. I might not go to Chicago. Narcotics, deceptive practice. I wonder what that is. Okay. Anyway, so hopefully that's given you an idea, a brief overview of Spark Streaming and the Zeppelin experience. Let's just see what's going on. Yeah, okay. So I'll just stop my console application for now. Okay. And flip back to the slides. One thing I haven't shown is the Power BI integration. I should point out that Spark Streaming today doesn't integrate with Power BI, and that's not because of a Power BI or Spark Streaming issue. It's the way Spark is configured and how the Thrift server integrates with the temporary table. But you can connect Spark and Power BI together to look at physical tables, so things like Hive tables, tables you load the data into and rather than streaming the data into. So you can explore this through Power BI really easily. The experience is great. Click Get Data, put your cluster name in, and you're away. That's it, pretty much. So we've talked about Azure Stream Analytics, Storm on HD Insight, Spark on HD Insight. But how do you choose the right solution? Well, people hate it, but I say it depends. And they say, well, just tell me which one's the right solution. So what we tried to come up with is a decision matrix here of the key points which you need to consider. We've broken this down into categories. So multi-tenant service. So Stream Analytics is a multi-tenant service. HD Insight and Storm are your dedicated clusters. You're not sharing. Something to think about and consider.
And that could be both a good thing as well as a not a good thing, because it involves the cost of running the solution. So a dedicated service, of course, you will pay for that. While in this case, if you have a multi-tenant service, there's a lower cost.
Deployment models, pretty similar. The reason we've put a star next to the PaaS, platform as a service, is because you can actually deploy Storm and Spark on premises if you want. So the deployment complexity can go up, or you can use Azure, deployment complexity goes down. Extensibility. So Stream Analytics, Azure Stream Analytics, extensible to a certain point. You can write SQL queries. Storm and Spark, actually, because they're open source, really extensible, really flexible, plug in your own components, write custom receivers, custom adapters, use different languages. Open source support, HD Insight and Spark, yes. Programmability, so Stream Analytics supports a version of SQL today. Storm supports C#, Java and Python. Spark supports Spark SQL, or Shark as it was known, Scala, Python and Java. So more data points to think about.
But on the other hand, talk about programmability. While you have not as many options in Stream Analytics, it's actually much, much easier. I showed you my Twitter application. The same application written in Storm would actually be something around 1,900 lines of code instead of my 6 lines of code in SQL. So, I mean, you have a lot of extensibility, but with extensibility also comes complexity. So that is a decision point that you really have to think about as well.
Question.
So this really isn't an apples-to-apples comparison based on your previous slide. Realistically, if I just looked at Microsoft Azure services, I would need Streaming Analytics, I would need Azure ML, I would need SQL Azure to do everything that Spark does. So actually, if you added up, its costs are actually probably lower because Spark does 4 different things. And there isn't even really a graph equivalent, right? So I'm wondering if your slide needs to be a little more apples to apples, actually.
So to repeat the question, there is a thing. So Spark does much more than Azure Stream Analytics? Yes, it does. And to the point, you are right. If you wanted to do the same thing, you would involve Azure ML and other components. And there are even components that doesn't exist in the other Azure, like the graph. Yes, that's true.
To your point around complexity, well, now I got to learn Azure ML, now I got to learn SQL.
Yeah, and I mean...
Or if I just learn Python, let's say, or Scala, I'm pretty good to go on a lot of different scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, there is a difference in it as well. So absolutely, you are right. If you're going to use everything in Spark, you have that requirement for your solution, well, Spark is probably a good... candidate for what to use. But if you're just interested in the streaming components, well, and you want to get started fast, well, Azure Stream Analytics is probably a good candidate in that way as well. So that's the reason why we say it depends. You really have to think about what is the end goal that you have, what is the solution that you need to create, and based on that, choose the streaming technology.
Good question, thanks. And so I guess finally, bottom line, Power BI integration. So Spark, Stream Analytics, a first-class integration. So you connect to your cluster, you connect Stream Analytics as an output to Power BI. HD Insight Storm, you can actually use the Power BI REST API. So other considerations to think about. What I would say is a lot of customers are currently interested in Spark today because a lot of it's to do with hype and marketing that it's getting at the moment in terms of rapid processing, data science scenarios. But on the other hand, Azure Stream Analytics is appealing to a lot of our customers and solution scenarios because it's really easy to deploy, rapid to get going. The complexity, as Simon mentioned, is a lot lower. So these slides will be available and... You know, these are some points to think about. There might be some other points on here which we can think about including, but we will share this content. And also need to plug a tutorial this afternoon, which is a follow-on to this session. And there's a tutorial about using Stream Analytics to unlock insights from IoT. And this is from 1 till 3 p.m.
In this room.
So the Azure Streaming guys will be running this. It's a great session, highly recommended. So as I mentioned, Simon doesn't receive any email, so he wants more email, feel free to contact him. That's my email address as well. But we appreciate the questions and listening today. So I think with that, we kind of like to ask if there are any questions. So we'll open the floor. So HD Insight has an emulator. Is there a local SDK or emulator for testing? There is a HD Insight emulator for Visual Studio, but you have to actually download it through the WebPI installer.
And that supports both the Storm and Spark?
No, it doesn't. So today, I believe it just supports the Hadoop environment. It doesn't support the streaming environments. So you can simulate things like map reduce jobs on HDFS. but it doesn't support these streaming scenarios as it currently stands. You have to actually use the Azure portal to test some of these scenarios.
And is it same with the Stream Analytics too?
So Stream Analytics is only available in the Azure portal, but you have the ability to, as I pointed out, to run a test query against static data. So you don't need to spin up and make sure that you get the events in. You can actually run a query against static information.
Thank you.
Another question. You will get the mic, sir.
How do people typically source control something like streaming analytics and then deploy it?
Good question. So the development environment is only through the portal. So basically what you need to do is you would basically cut and paste and put it into your source control.
So think for things like publishing and subscribing, though, when you're pushing data into Event Hub, that will be a typical console Visual Studio application. So that can be source controlled. It's just the Stream Analytics SQL job, for example, is not there yet in terms of source control.
The other thing is, like, when you deploy it in real-time scenarios, you typically use things like PowerShell to create your queries, and obviously you can source control that. So that's an option as well.
Yeah. Any more questions? One more at the back or front.
What sort of latency can you expect for end-to-end pipeline for data ingress to like the Power BI visualization for something simple like doing a simple count of events coming in?
Do you want to take that?
So, I mean, it's like it's near real time, but typically you stay within seconds on the number of the windowing functions. So not go below that because the Power BI dashboard actually doesn't display it in a nice way. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you showed in the demo that you were using Scala to program, yeah. And you showed that within Scala you like created a specific package to integrate with the Event Hubs.
Yeah.
Which other languages are you going to support? Is Python already supported, and which language do you plan to support in future? Thank you.
Yes, Python is supported. I can't really comment on the future roadmap at this point, sorry. But I can point you to the Azure public documentation at the moment. Okay. Thanks. Enough to wrap up.
So when you're consuming real-time data and you've got nodes and you've allocated the amount of scalability that you want, how would you know when you reach a scenario where you're trying to consume data but you can't keep up? It wouldn't automatically scale. You have to choose that, right? So what would be a telltale sign that I'm trying to consume too much data and I haven't scaled correctly, and are there warnings and notifications that go with that?
So Azure Stream Analytics provide you information in the monitoring dashboard that can show you if you're lagging behind, and you can scale up based on that.
I would add that I would look at using some of the other Azure services like Application Insights. So I worked on a scenario recently where a retail customer wanted to measure the tip speed of a blade spinning the product. And we were pushing data into Event Hub, but we weren't actually sure, is it still working? Is it processing the data? How fast is it going? So we were looking at Application Insights as a way to like monitor the events and provide feedback.
Another question.
When you're using reference data in your streaming pipeline, and if that reference data is huge, is there a recommended way to design your reference data system while using with either the Stream Analytics or the Spark?
So I'm actually not aware of that. I haven't tested that, so let me follow up with you offline.
Yeah, can we get your details and we'll follow up with you?
Sure,
yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, I think we're going to have to wrap up there because we're conscious of impacting your lunchtime. So thanks for coming today. Appreciate you listening. Thank you.